I hope that our hope this morning is in the Lord and that we are trusting in His Word. We can so often become distracted from that and fail to remember the assurance, the everlasting nature of God's Word. And man, we must hope in Him and trust in His Word. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. We have intentionally tried to slow down our worship services. And it seems like we've gotten to a place there where we were really singing through our songs maybe too quickly. And we didn't have time to breathe and have a Selah during our time of worship. So we've intentionally, I don't know if you felt it or noticed it today, of just a time to try to reflect upon the Lord and think about Him, trying to add more Scripture into our worship services. And Tanner did a great job with that, Tanner and Claire, so I thank them for their work there in that. But that's very intentional for us to reflect upon the Lord and to worship Him with all of our hearts this morning. Hearing Tanner sing, I was just thinking, man, I hope in the glorified body I'm able to sing like Tanner is. That would be great. And Lisa really prays for that as well. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 14 again if you'd follow along. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Please follow along in whatever copy you have today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. Verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Would you please pray with me this morning before we look at our message today entitled The Holy Spirit of Promise. Oh Father, I thank You for the wonderful time of worship that we've had today through song, through hearing Your Word read, and through prayer. And Lord, we know that You are the living God. We worship You today as the living God who has made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. And Lord, in bygone generations, You've allowed nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, You did not leave Yourself without a witness. But God, You have done good. You gave rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, and throughout all the lands, Lord, You have filled hearts with food and gladness. But God, we know that through Christ and His coming now, that this time of ignorance for the nations has ended. This time of ignorance for ourselves has ended, because now, Lord, You command all men everywhere to repent, because You will one day judge the world in righteousness by the man Jesus Christ, and You have proven this by raising Him from the dead. God, You are worthy of our worship, You are worthy of our trust. You are worthy of our devotion. Lord, you are worthy of our repentance from our serving living idols, our dead idols, to serve the living God. And I just pray, Lord, today that for all of us here that we would repent afresh, God, that we would turn afresh to you, trusting in you, no matter what may be discouraging us or, Lord, causing us to stumble in our walk or whatever sin may be besetting us. I pray, God, that afresh today we would trust in Christ and trust in your word. I pray for everyone who can't be with us today, whether it's because of sickness or other obligation that they have, Lord, or infirmity that keeps them from being able to get out. I ask you to bless them in their homes as they watch. And, Lord, let them feel your comfort and your presence even there. Please bless now the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit of promise. We've started looking through this text in verse 3, and we see three important things from these verses 3 through 14. In the first few verses, 3 through 6, we see that we are chosen by God, that our salvation was not something that we decided to do, that we thought up as being a good idea, but God, like any good architect, knows the end from the beginning before he begins to build or design a building. So it is with God that he, from before the foundations of the world, has chosen us in Christ Jesus. Salvation is of God. It is his work in us by his grace and for his glory. Number two, we have seen from this text already that God the Son, Jesus Christ, has redeemed us from our sins through his blood. We have forgiveness of our sins. And in him, in the beloved, we are accepted. We are accepted in him because in him we are redeemed. We are accepted in him because in him we have an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. And number three that we saw last week, we saw that in him we also have trusted. So these three important things about the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are found right here in verses 3 through 14. And in the last part, in verses 13 and 14, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit of promise. So the third person of the Godhead, perhaps the most avoided person of the Godhead, perhaps the person of the Godhead that we are most ignorant of, the Holy Spirit. I say avoided because when we think about the Holy Spirit, sometimes if we search him out and seek him, we may be afraid of what he might do within us. So we might be seeking to avoid the Holy Spirit sometimes. But we see here all three of these members of the Godhead. And when I say Godhead, just so we're clear on that, and the book of Colossians uses that term Godhead, but the Godhead is the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Another word that is not found in the Bible that we use for that is the Trinity, speaking of the three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everybody understand that this morning? Kids, y'all got that? So when you hear Godhead, you're thinking, all right, that means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all equally God, three persons in one. Okay, so here today as we look at these verses, I want to share with you just really three points about this. The first one is this. I want to see the foundation of the Holy Spirit. The foundation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we're going to see the foundation, the foretelling, and the function of the Holy Spirit. All right? So the first one is the foundation of the Holy Spirit. This is found in verse 13. You might say, what in the world do you mean by foundation of the Holy Spirit? And what I mean by that is this. What is the foundation for the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling someone, sealing someone, as we're going to see, and guaranteeing our inheritance? What must be in the life of a person? What makes that person someone that the Holy Spirit comes and works in? Someone that the Holy Spirit comes and seals until the day of redemption, guarantees our inheritance. What's the difference between that person and someone else? Verse 13, I feel, lays out for us certain characteristics. If you were go to a deer hunter's home, in that deer hunter's home, you might expect to find some antlers. You might expect to find something around the house that would prove that he was a deer hunter. But going even beyond that, if you begin to pilfer in his closet a little bit, you will find some camouflage clothing. If you open up a tub, you might find that tub with some clothes in there that are used just for hunting. If you go to a lady's home who quilts, you might find a quilt rack with some quilts hanging on it. But if you began to look in her closets, you might find some quilting materials in there and some threads and all the things that would go along with that in order to be able to make those quilts. If you go into the life of someone who has the Holy Spirit as their seal and as their guarantee, and you begin to pilfer down into their heart, what will you find there? And I'll suggest to you two things. They're not on the screen, but you'll find them in verse 13. He says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." Number one is that you will find there trust in the word of truth. Trust in the word of truth. The second thing, and really they are practically the same things, but we'll take Paul's wording here and use it. He says, in the first part, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed." The second thing that you would find if you pilfer around in their heart is that you will find that they believe the gospel of salvation. Number one, they trust in the word of truth. And number two, they believe in the gospel of salvation. Now, what we will see here is that when you look or go to the word of truth and you find out what really the word of truth is, and when you find out what really the gospel of your salvation is, it is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 13 again, you see this: the gospel of your salvation. And then he says, "In whom also having believed." So it's in Christ that we have believed. It is in Christ that a person has believed. The word of truth brings us to Jesus. The gospel of salvation is that because of Jesus. So you find a foundation for the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual is these two things that must be there: trust in the word of truth and belief in the gospel of salvation. Now, I want to take a second to look at the first part of that, trust in the word of truth. Because if you look at verse 13, he says this: "In Him, in whom you also trusted after you," what does it say? "After you heard the word of truth." The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans 10:14 as well, the question is asked, how will they hear without a preacher? Gospel preaching, as I told you last week, always precedes gospel believing. Okay? So the preaching of the Word of God, and that gives the opportunity for people to hear the Word of God and then to believe the Word of God. In this particular passage, he tells the Ephesians that they heard the word of truth. And what happened there is after they heard that word of truth, they trusted it. In verse 13, you see, if you have the New King James Version, I'm not sure what all the other versions have there, but "trusted" is in italics, which means that it is not in the original language. But the word is found in verse 12, talking about Jews who first trusted in Christ. And it is implied in verse 13. It's implied that the Ephesians also trusted, just like is found in verse 12. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, because I want to talk to you for just a second about something that's really important and that we all need to be reminded of. Because this hearing of the word of truth and how we hear the word of God is a huge deal. It's a big deal for you this morning. It's a big deal for those that we will go and preach the gospel to. It is a major, major thing in our lives spiritually, in the place of salvation, but also in our continued growth. So in Luke chapter 8, I'd like for us to read a few verses here. And there's going to be a parable here that is quite well known to you. I'm going to start at verse 4, and it's the parable of the sower. And I want you to just listen to it, and then we're going to look at the explanation of it in verse 11. The parable of the sower starts in verse 4 of Luke chapter 8. It says, "And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to what? Hear, let him what?'" All right, now let's go down to verse 11. This is where he gives the explanation of this parable. Notice how many times Jesus says the way the people heard. Verse 11, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." But look at verse 15. "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." All right, so in all of these situations, all of these different grounds upon which the seed fell, they all heard the word. And I can tell you this morning, most likely, that there is a sampling of these four different grounds in this congregation that are before us today. There are some who are by the wayside, there are some who are rocky, and there are some who have thorns. And then we hope that there are those who also are good ground. And Jesus goes on to describe it, and I know this is probably a little bit against our theological bent sometimes, when we always want to think about how terrible we are before God. But Jesus says here that this seed fell on good ground that was with a noble and good heart. And it says that they kept it and it bare fruit with patience. All right? Now, I'm not saying in that there's anything within us that merits salvation. But the thing that set that ground apart from others is the way that they received the word. Now let's keep looking at this in verse 16. "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." Now look at verse 18, because this is a really important verse. Jesus says, "Therefore, take heed how you," what? "Take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." Let's keep reading. Three more verses. "Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But he answered and said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are these who," what? "Hear the word of God and do it." You all see the emphasis here that Jesus places on hearing the word of God? Do you see here the emphasis that is placed on our responsibility to hear the word of God? And Jesus even warns us, take heed how you hear. we can get into these services and hearing the Word of God, we can be thinking about what we're going to do next. And you know what the devil's when we're is happening, what the devil's doing when we're distracted and we're thinking about all these things and we won't contemplate and meditate upon the Word of God and seek to study out the Scriptures as we're walking through it. You know what the devil's doing? Snatching it away. It's there and he's just snatching it away. Why? Because we didn't take heed how we heard. We didn't consider who God is, who we are, and what is our need before God. Jesus warns there. In Matthew chapter 7, I'll read this passage if you would just listen. In Matthew 27, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. So this parable that he gives here, this illustration of the houses, illustrates well those who hear the word and obey it or do it, and those who hear the word and do not obey it. Going back to Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, we find here, and I said all that just to emphasize to us what the Ephesians have done and what we are called to do even today, to hear the word of God and to take heed how we hear that word of God. Because our very salvation, our very eternities depend upon it. We can think of it as a light thing. We can think of it as a momentary thing, that this is no big deal whatsoever. We can even begin to doubt the Word of God and say that surely God will not damn people for eternity in hell for rejecting His gospel message. Surely a loving God would never do any of those things. But what happens when we do that? We are being deceived. And we fail to believe the written Word of God and to trust in the Word of God. And the Word of God is exhorting us. It is pleading with us to trust in Jesus Christ. To trust in the gospel of our salvation. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. So, the Ephesians heard the word of truth and they trusted it. And I would ask you today, and all of us, seriously, ask yourself this question. Have you heard the word of truth and have you trusted it? I can tell all of you here this morning, you have heard the word of truth. You have. But have you trusted in it? Have you put your entire hope for eternity in Jesus Christ? You see, it's not, your hope for eternity cannot be in a list of things you do or a list of things you don't do, but it's in a person in whom you trust that causes you to live for Him and to do what He would have you to do because of the new creation we are in Christ. So, I plead with you this morning, think about the foundation of the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have those two elements, trust in the truth, word of truth, and belief in the gospel of salvation, then you do not have the Holy Spirit within you. Number two is this, and we're not going to finish this message today, we'll have to come back to it next week. But number two is this, we see a foretelling of the Holy Spirit. You notice in verse 13 again that it says, "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, the reason the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit of promise, guess what? That's real tricky, isn't it? The reason He's the Holy Spirit of promise is because He was promised. It was promised that he would be sent. It was promised that he would come, and he has come. I'll give you an example of this from the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 17. It says there in verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 37, verse 14 says, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. This speaking to the Israelites in the Old Testament. And then we find in the Gospel of Mark, for instance, chapter 1, verse 8. Here it says of John the Baptist, he said, I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So there's this promise of the Holy Spirit coming. It's promised many times, much more than what I shared with you in the Old Testament. It's promised in the New Testament when John the Baptist came upon the scene and was baptizing in water, and he said, I baptize with water, but there comes one who will give you the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. One other example of this is in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and the account of this, and it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then we know in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his disciples by Jesus Christ. And here we find that Jesus had ascended up into heaven, and he received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit that he poured out upon his church in Acts chapter 2. And you see, this promise of the Holy Spirit is not one that was given just to the disciples back in that day when Jesus had ascended up into heaven. It wasn't promised just to that 120, but it's promised to all who believe in Him. All who believe in the gospel of salvation. All who trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of promise comes and indwells you. Now, I know that we have some young believers here, who have been baptized just in recent years, who are children, considered even children today. I want you to understand that the Bible teaches that when you have believed in Christ by the grace of God, when you've trusted in Jesus, that the Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God indwells us. The Spirit of God comes to us and lives and abides within us. That's how Jesus lives in you. Jesus lives in you through His Spirit that indwells you. So there was the foretelling of the Holy Spirit. Our time is up for today. I'm going to have to finish this message next week. I think that the call for us today, I hope, is this, that we would realize that God, through the gospel, is saving men, women, boys, and girls. And it is only that. We are only accepted in the Beloved. You will not be accepted before Jesus in any other way. I'll conclude by reading this one statement from Jerry Bridges about our acceptance, really, in Christ. He says this in one of his books, understanding this aspect of the gospel is essential for personal growth in Christ. Bridges writes, to the degree we feel we are on a legal or performance relationship with God, to that degree our progress is impeded. A performance mode of thinking gives indwelling sin an advantage because nothing cuts the nerve of the desire to grow as much as a sense of guilt. On the contrary, nothing so motivates us to want to grow as does the understanding of the application of the truth that our sins are forgiven and that dominion of sin is broken because of our union with Christ. We cannot serve God and pursue spiritual growth with any vigor at all if we are dealing with a guilty conscience. Therefore, we need the gospel to to remind us that our sins are forgiven in Christ and that the blood of His Son purifies us from all sins. Is Jesus Christ your hope today? Not only for salvation, but for spiritual growth and your acceptance daily before God. Let's pray together. I thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for this gospel of salvation. And I pray, God, that You would help us to hear, that You would give us grace to hear. Lord, we are responsible to hear. And Lord, we must take heed how we hear. Oh, Lord, help us. And Father, I thank You for Your Spirit, that we're going to see seals us, guarantees our inheritance, and brings praise to You. Lord, may that Spirit comfort us, help us, teach us as we seek to walk with You. For any who are lost today, Lord, who see their need to come to Jesus and to hear today for the first time truly the gospel of salvation, please, Lord, give them the devotion to You, the love for You to make that conversion, to make that belief known, and to serve You all their days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.